Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dabless. I am Quentin, he is the Shogun, and today we have a brand new guest for the first time. We have the Ace himself.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Shogun.
Hi, how is everybody?
That was a very awkward entry. Take it anyway.
The hello is always weird because you're saying hi to a bunch of people you can't see. So it's always the weird part.
You don't even know what they think. They probably think, what the fuck is this? What did I just walk into?
That's definitely true, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so like a week or so ago, PlayStation had a somewhat confusing state of play. People expected something big. They expected God of War, but they got Deathloop, you know. We'll get into Deathloop later. Let's do some of the indie stuff that they threw in our faces. I'll go first. The first one that I noticed was that fist thing with the robot bunny, and then the cinematic looked amazing until it switched to the gameplay, and I was like, oh no, it's 2D. Oof.
I think I remember the name. It must have been.
It was like fist. Something.
Yeah, it was fist. That's right. It was fist. It was fist.
It was fist.
yeah, man. I totally found Fist interesting. You know, it's nothing new as a platformer, okay. But like in terms of lore, you know, like when I first saw the rabbit, I was like, okay, you know, since there's been like a couple of others that have been, you know, going along this route. Like Biomutant and the likes of what's that I forgot the game, you know, but basically was it Jax? Was Jax.
Jack and Dexter.
Yeah, I mean, like in terms of like, you know, these small little creatures, you know, like rabbits. Squirrels and stuff like that. So
that's all I like. Jack.
So I thought maybe in terms of lore, you know, they might have something interesting, but in terms of like gameplay, nah.
Definitely not.
This is the kind of game that I liked back when I was still using just like a shitty laptop, because you know it's very easy for like a terrible laptop to play 2D games like this. I lived for these kind of games, that stuff, but like my heart just sank as soon as like turned into the gameplay footage, because the cinematic stuff, I was like, oh, this is really interesting.
And like the thought that I had in my mind was, you have a PlayStation 4, you know, Pro or PS5 or either Xbox or whatever. You know,
life, man.
But like what I'm trying to say is that of all the games available on PlayStation, you know, a platformer, to me at least, I don't know to anybody else or any of the listeners, but to me a platformer would be like the last game that I'd be going for, you know what I mean? I don't know, there's just quite a lot of things out there that I'd rather play.
Yeah, there's just more interesting things that seem that like they're more worth your time.
Well, yeah. If we're speaking interesting, we gotta talk about Sifu, man. Sifu is interesting. Yeah.
Sifu is definitely it's definitely something, you know. I mean, its design and gameplay focusing on martial arts, that stood out for me, man. I'm not gonna lie, and I'm not sure what they have more, you know, in store for us. But it seemed like the kind of game that I would, you know, sink a couple of days into, just trying to explore, and just trying to see what's happening. But I definitely liked the martial arts aspect of it. And I don't know what else they have in game mechanics, you know. And I can guess there'll be a story or something, but what else do they have in that, you know? So I'm pretty interested in it, and I think I might take a deeper look, you know, and just see what's happening.
Yeah, as it stands, what they've marketed to us is like a game that's good for like a few days, because it seems like you're playing the dude and you're going to these places and you're having all these fights, and then you die, and then you get older, and then you come back and you're more knowledgeable about your opponents, and then you fight them again and whatever. I'm interested to see like how interesting that is, because they haven't showed us like a story. They haven't showed us like him going to a room or saying like, I'm looking for this or whatever. So it does seem like it's all about us just like exploring different areas and beating like tougher enemies. Like, I don't even know if it has an end. Like, do we just endlessly get older, or is there a point where it gets 100 and the game's like, okay, now game over or something? I don't know.
I mean, if that was the case, though, it would get repetitive very quickly, exactly, you know. But you're right. It did look amazing.
Q, what did you think about it? Oh, no. Don't tell me. Okay. I think he's vanished into the nether realm. The nether realm. but have you... Yeah, okay, right. good. So, you just went into the nether realm for like a few seconds, now you're back. We were talking about Sifu, what did you think about it?
Yeah. No, so what I thought about it, you know, I love martial arts, man. I sank my teeth into that kung fu game. Shucks.
What, Yakuza?
Oh my god. No, it's not Yakuza. Oh my god, why am I forgetting this game right now? I can't believe I'm forgetting this game. I need
Sleeping Dogs. Yeah.
Man, Sleeping Dogs was freaking amazing with the martial arts and improving your skill. And then there was this one crazy mission where like you have to beat like 50 guys using different weapons. And each time you get hit by a weapon, you get poisoned, so you become slow, and which makes the fight tougher. I don't know how many hours. I think it took me like a day and a half to beat that level. So with Sifu, it was like, I can't wait to fucking... But every time you die, you get older. I want to see how young I can finish the game and how old I can finish the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if there's one game that stood out for me, you know, where I was like, okay, I could see myself spending some time here, it was Arcadageddon, I think. Arcadageddon. Yeah, I believe it's called. Yeah, I mean, I just like the stylistic design, you know, and the mechanics. I mean, granted, for what it is already as a game, but like, I don't know, man. I'm into those types of things. You know what I mean? Like, I just, for me, at least... One of the games that stood out for me was this one, Arcadageddon.
Stylistically, it looks.
Yeah. I mean, stylistically, it does look good. You know,
stylistically,
I mean,
it does look pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it does have the the cartoon style that it's got going there, but like. Even the gameplay for me, you know, I just felt like, well, here's something, all right? I mean, okay. Let me put it this way. I actually even liked the presentation, you know, and the way that it was brought forward. But As far as like you know third player games go, like FPSs go, you know, I just like it. That's it. You know, I just got that feeling, that vibe with it. You know, when I see it, I'm like, okay, this is it. This is it right here for me. This is the first one that stood out.
Yeah, man. Nah, yeah, I definitely hear you. Dave, what did you think of that? Oh, you already thought of it, but I wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't very much convinced. But what you guys think of the Demon Slayer trailer gameplay offering?
Well, Demon Slayer. You know, that was totally unexpected for me. You know, I did not see that coming. I mean, you see, Demon Slayer is definitely something that a lot of people are going to be looking at playing, you know, given its popularity. And sure. The combat especially looked, you know, sweet, fresh, clean. And, you know, I was just looking at it. I was just like, wow, this is some pretty sweet combat right here. And, you know, when it comes to anime games, personally though, I always wish to be able to create my own little character. You know, I personally would have liked to create my own little Demon Slayer right there. And well, but that's just me. That's just me. But as far as a Demon Slayer goes, as an anime type game, I'm definitely interested, you know, in giving it a try and seeing where it goes. For me, the top three in terms of those games, it's Kakarot, you know, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, and Naruto, Shinobi Strikers. You know, the combat of these anime games is, for me at least, amazing, and I want to see if Demon Slayer, you know, can get to the standard.
Zippo, what are your thoughts on it? Because I'll be honest, I've never been an anime game kind of guy. I've just never done it.
I know.
I mean, I really enjoyed Budokai Tenkaichi on PSP emulator. It was a very decent game, you know. I enjoyed that, but then the reason I enjoyed that the most is because the design of the characters and their movements and their animation style was exactly the same, if not similar, to how it was in the actual anime. But you flip it over to stuff like One Piece and Demon Slayer, the animation style is totally different. It throws me off, you know. I mean, I still want to play it to like it, but like the animation style throws me off. The movement of the characters feels off. So I'm just like,
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty. I wasn't surprised by the design. You know, I did not find myself thinking that, wow, this is different. It's almost as if it was expected that it would have been this way, you know. But just like you said, Zeppo, that, or was it Dave, that, you know, never really been an anime games type of guy, at least these types, you know, these types. The fighting games, I know specifically Naruto had quite a lot of these fighting types of games, you know, and they had this style and look to a couple of games from One Piece also and a few others. But guys, I gotta tell you, right, especially Shinobi Strikers, right, it captures the essence of, you know, combat and gameplay, you know, like the things that you can do, charging your chakra, jumping all over the place, you know, doing, you know, these combat styles and whatsoever. And it had me feeling, you know, it gave me a sense of what it was like to be a ninja in Naruto, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, there were just so many problems plaguing the game that, you know, I didn't get to stay too long into it. But if, you know, the Demon Slayer game is going to be anything like Shinobi Strikers or DBZ Kakarot, then I think, you know, it could be something interesting, you know?
It does look a little interesting. Like, I would like to try it. That's what I'll say. I'd like to
try it. I mean, if there's a demo, if there's a demo out there, I'll download the demo and try on the demo, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're not a demo. I mean, the only thing that I'm worried about though is content. You know, I don't know how far they're willing to take it in terms of content. And you know, I don't want it to fall into a space where it becomes repetitive. You know, because even if combat is amazing, if the game itself is repetitive, then
yeah, man, that's what killed the Avengers game, bruh.
yeah, it just no.
It looks like we're going through like certain. Like what they showed in the trailer was that like was some of was things that we saw in the episodes of Demon Slayer. So it looks like
ended in the movie as well.
Yeah, so we're doing parts of the story that we've already seen, which I've always like slowly. I think that's where I've disliked anime things because I don't like doing things I've already seen before. Yeah. I find that a bit. Like I feel like I'd want to just do something that I don't know, but again, that's the difficulty is they can't do that. It's like, but it looks it looks interesting. The style is definitely it's hard to get used to.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. Yeah,
but I think with time, like you can get used to it.
Yeah, well, for me, if there's one game in this reveal that I didn't feel any particular, you know, connection to, interest or something like it was Tribes of Midgard. You know, I just saw it and I was just like, no, that was, you know, you know, it was just no. If I was a country's got talent judge, I would have pressed the X or red button, you know. Just no, man. Just no. That's not for me, you know. What did you guys think though?
Devil, did you see Travis Midgard? No, he's disappeared once more. He's gone into the Netherrealm. I'll say this about Tribes of Midgard.
I'm literally right here.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. Was that just me?
What I was saying was I'm the Norse guy around here. So like, if I don't like it, nobody will, and I didn't like it. Oh man, and the problem with gaming is like God of War raised God of War and Hellblade raised the game for Norse mythology adaptations. If you come anywhere lower than them, you're just not worthy.
Yeah, I mean, you look. Part of it is also sensitivity. You know what I mean. And the problem is, right now, there is a particular game that's really making waves, all right? And that game is Valheim. I'm sure you guys have heard of it, all right? And
yeah, I've seen that.
Look, Valheim doesn't look any better than other games out there. You know, it looks as indie as it can get. And I looked at it and said, graphically speaking, this is not something that I would play, but I gave it a try and I was hooked, man. I never thought I'd be hooked the way I was hooked on that game. And you know, seeing Tribes of Midgard, I know it's unfair to compare the two, but seeing as both deal with the Vikings and Odin and stuff like that, it just didn't seem that attractive to me, you know. I'm probably biased right now, you know, because there are many things that I can look at about the game and probably pick out and put, you know, in a structured form and say, well, this is good, well, this is bad, you know. But if we're speaking about tastes and interest, then, you know, in that whole list, this one falls in the bottom for me. You know, I just didn't find it interesting as a player.
I'm seeing like a lot of like similarities between some of these games. Like, do you guys think there's nothing wrong with these games at all? But the main issue was that they decided to show them off in a way, and that's where most people's problem with it will really lie. Because I don't think any of these games like are like truly, truly awful. Like, oh my god, this game absolutely sucks. Most of them is just that. None of us like. This is not what we expected from a state of play.
It's not what we wanted from a state of play.
But maybe we should have expected this, because you know, now, like as time goes by, I feel like PlayStation is just going to be trying to shine a light on like small games, and then maybe like one or two big games.
I mean, this is like when you're watching a superhero movie and they, you know, and the superhero, like there's no one to root for in the movie. Let's not say a superhero movie, but let's just say you're watching a movie and there's no one to root for in the movie, and you're just forced to randomly pick somebody to like, okay, this is my guy. This is the one that I would like to see win. You know, but there's no connection to it. You're cold to it. You know what I mean? And this is what I felt watching the state of play. You know, I ended up saying, okay, you know, here are a bunch of individuals, you know, some of them are indie. These are very talented people, you know. But in terms of like what I expect from PlayStation itself and what they would showcase at such an event, there's really nothing in this list, exactly. You know, and
that expectation, I think gotta change. And you know where this really came from is like what they did last year, because last year they pulled out all the stuff.
Oh my god, a smog sport.
And everything they showed us technically was not even for this year or last year. It was a lot of that stuff was like maybe 2023 stuff, if we're really being honest. They showed us God of War.
2022, 2023,
They just showed us like a title for God of War. Like, they were definitely not ready to show us God of War, but they needed to get people jazzed about PS5, so they had to show something. But that's it was definitely not ready. Like, most of the things that they were trying to show us was just like, just to wet our lips for PS5. but most of that stuff, like, I was checking the list of some of the things that they showed on trailers, and like, most of those games don't even have a date yet. Like, so every time they show us a state of play, we expect, here we go, I'm gonna get God of War, I'm gonna get your top tier, absolute, like huge games. I think it's kind of their fault, but we also have to change our perceptions. Otherwise, there'll be disappointment every time.
I was about to speak about Hunter's Arena, all right? And when this game came through and I saw it, I just thought of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this one, but I just saw Black Desert Online. You know what I mean? I just felt Hunter's Arena just felt like something I've seen before, like something I've played before. That's what I'm trying to say here. And, you know, when I focused a little bit more onto it and the gameplay and some of the mechanics they talked about seemed okay, you know, especially the dungeons. I like anything that has to do with dungeons, all right? But I mean, it's a battle royale, really, like really speaking. And you hunt each other along with other players, and then you get to go to dungeons to upgrade your players and stuff like that. I mean, I just that why.
It's obvious what the pitch for this was. It was like,
yeah, it's PvP.
Fortnite, but with magic.
Yeah, I mean, it looks to be some type of skill-based game. You know what I mean? That you're going to have to be a very skillful player. You're going to have to know your stuff. You're going to have to practice, you know, get through the hurdle and, you know, get through like the difficulty curve. But no, man, no. This is, I don't know. I really don't know. It just doesn't strike me as something that is sustainable right now in the gaming industry. You know, I mean, if you want to make a MOBA, right? If you want to make a battle royale, that's gonna last 10 years in the gaming industry. I get it. You know, graphics is something that you're going to want to go for, but such familiarity, you know, like it's just so I've played this before, right? And there's really nothing interesting about it. You know, they said that there'd be dungeons, and I'm like, okay, I get it, you know, but I don't know, man. You're right, David. Maybe the expectations are too high. But part of that, I think, also is just a matter of sensitivity. You know, as people who play a lot of games and are exposed to a lot of content, we do know these things, you know. And we're not looking for something mind-blowing here. We're just looking for innovation. You know what I mean? And since, you know, the gaming industry is very, like, there's a whole lot of talented individuals, it's pretty obvious that most ideas that can come up at this point have already been explored. You know what I mean? But still, it doesn't mean that you can just throw a game like this at us and expect us to be happy about it. You know?
I don't know about that, man. Like, when I think about it, like, Hunter's Arena is not that bad a game. Especially because, like, at the end of the thing, I noticed it's on PS Plus. So that means easily a bunch of people who are on PlayStation and have PS Plus, that means they don't have to spend anything to get it. That type of, like, accessibility, like, if you can just get that game, like, easily, I feel like that's a good way to start. Especially with it being this, like, battle royale / MOBA weirdness, I feel like that's a good way just to get people in the door. Whether it will last or not, who knows, you know? I've been wrong about these things before. I like you, saw Valheim, and I was like, no, this is garbage, right? And it took off
my thoughts,
a rocket. It took off like a rocket. So you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem, right, is that if you're going to make content, all right, because it's pretty obvious why there are dungeons involved, right? Because if you make it a battle royale, you're already getting into a genre that's, I want to say, saturated, okay? But that wouldn't be the right word, you know. But let's just say one way most people are probably tired of, you know. Most casual players are probably tired of, you know. There's already, like, a lot of outstanding titles out there, you know, like Call of Duty and, you know, the likes of Fortnite and plenty of others, especially ones that Epic Games keep releasing differently every year. So what I feel is that the moment you add something like a dungeon, you're now saying there'll be constant and different content. You're now saying that I'm going to have to spend time and possibly money into investing into a character. All right. So what tends to usually happen is that in such games, you attract people like us, people that like RPGs and MMOs and stuff like that. Now, obviously, it would be marketed at people that like battle royales, but at the same time, us as casual players that are just you know, passing clouds, you know, just testing all these games, it would be very difficult for me to stay for a very long time in such a game. You know what I mean? Given the amount, yeah, given the amount of options that are there. Now, making the game easier to get, as in like free, all right, in a sense, all right, which puts the barrier to entry very low, means that it's also going to be easy for me to abandon it, because then I did not spend a particular amount of money, you know, on it. So that lack of investment only serves to make it easier for me to leave it.
Yeah, but I mean, people started Marvel's Avengers and then they abandoned it. You know, they spend money and then they abandoned it. So it happens.
Yeah.
Like my brother spent money on a shit game and he abandoned it. You know, that thing happens. But I think it's a win when at least you can get people in there at the beginning. Like, let's take Fall Guys. Fall Guys, like, the way it started and where it is now, it's two different things. It definitely has its, like, its people, its audience, right? Mm-hmm. But it's nowhere compared to where it was at the beginning. Exactly. But because I think it was, like, on PS Plus or something, right? Like, it was just there for PlayStation users. So it had this thing where everybody was on it, right? So, like, look at this dumb game. But everybody was on it and everybody
was playing that thing.
So at least, like, that initial wave of getting people through the door, like, it had an impact where that game is. Like, it might not be the top game in the world, but at least it's still surviving. You know, instead of just dying on impact, because sometimes that happens. Just games just die on impact.
Yeah, I'm just spend a lot of
time on Hunters, by the way.
It's just that with MMORPGs, anything is possible, man. Anything is possible, but you know what? It's a waiting situation.
All right, let's jump to
Death.
I mean, I want to say Death Stranding, you know.
Death Stranding.
But like we've been seeing Death Stranding for a long time now, so we gotta keep this short. I'm but still not sure if I'm playing that game.
The Snyder's cut of Death Stranding.
It's the Koji cut, man. It's the Koji cut.
I heard that Kojima said he doesn't like it being called the director's cut, because technically that would imply that the first cut wasn't like his cut. You know what I mean? Because usually that's why there's a director's cut. It's like the director's like, well, that first one, you know,
I was making some
decisions.
Yeah, but I mean, it still looks great graphically. You know, it still looks like they compressed all the fun into one trailer. And all the boring driving that people keep talking about is not really seen, you know?
Jermaine, did you actually play it?
No. And I've been seeing it, you know, but honestly speaking, I don't feel something calling me towards it, you know? What I do want to play is Days Gone. And, you know, I've not touched any of the Last of Us series, but Death Stranding, I don't know about that. I'm going to give it a try, probably, but I have not played it yet.
I am right there with you. When I heard what Death Stranding is, when I heard that you're just delivering packages, I was like, hey, okay, buddy, that's not for me.
Where's the death?
I'll get that. Okay, it's not worth it. I don't. For me personally, it's not worth.
Nah, it's really not worth. It really isn't. And then
No, I just wanted to say that it does look amazing, though.
No, it does look great. Graphically, it looks freaking amazing.
Yes, that's why it's so disappointing.
Oh, man. So, I'm thinking we got like two left. It's Last Judgment, then Deathloop, am I right?
And Jets.
Oh, Jets. Okay. We're going to do Jets, Last Judgment, and then Deathloop. Right. Jet. But what you think, Jermaine, man?
I don't know, guys. I've always had a spot for space games.
Yeah. I know that, right.
I'm definitely not looking forward to anything in terms of like the story. But they did seem to have a lot of interesting landscapes. I saw some really cool landscapes and I was like, this looks cool, you know. This looks cool. I mean, I like what you can do. It actually brings in mind a couple of other games. There was actually another game, I forgot the name, but if I had remembered it, I was going to tell you about it. It's a game where you're exploring the world in a very similar way to Jet, you know, but basically you're in that world and you can go in underwater or fly in the sky, you know. And it's pretty cool. So I don't know with Jet what they want to do. I don't know if it's going to be possible for you to go out into outer space and go into another planet. You know, are these planets already there already, or is it procedurally generated? You know, then if it's procedurally generated, then we know what to expect. Everything's going to be random. Everything's going to be different every time you do play it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm interested, you know, in what they have to offer, in terms of like the landscape and everything. But I'm not usually the guy that you come calling in terms of like story wise when it comes to games. I'm always about the gameplay, guys. Really, it's about the gameplay for me.
Yeah, Jet looks like it's a pass for me. Just,
man,
I don't know.
I mean, for me, space is like a space game is like Star Wars or like that Call of Duty where they were in space. That one was pretty decent. Like, and Jet, I've never liked space games to look like that. I always want them to have a little bit of heaviness, a little bit of fucking gorgeousness. But
yeah, that is definitely I mean, it actually directly correlates with the reason why I play a lot of MMOs, you know, which is Wanderlust, guys. It's just the thirst for adventure, you know, for something. I mean, I should play horror games, you know, because then I would never know what to expect right around the corner. But definitely the reason why one would play space games is Wanderlust, man. Just not knowing what you're going to find if you go in this direction. And it's what it is. You can get that from open world games, definitely. But I just felt like, I just feel like that vastness of space, you know, it's calling to me, guys.
Space is calling. Did you guys ever play that game, No Man's Sky?
Oh, man. You're pressing buttons right here, man.
I have no idea. Did you guys play it?
Yeah, I played it. Yeah.
Now, did you play it like recently or way back when it came out? Because I feel like there's like almost like two different No Man's Skies.
No, I've played it recently. Now, I haven't played the new update that was, you know, put out, but I played it before the new update, you know. So, yeah, I was pretty...
Can you tell me what No Man's Sky, like, is?
All right. So, basically, when it started out, it was, you know, a game where you simply... You are this entity, right? You are this person, and basically you are supposed to explore the galaxy and get to the center of the universe, you know. And then along the way, you discover an orb, All right, it's a sentient orb, and you also discover cryptic messages through your journey into your interactions with this orb, you know, and then you suddenly discover that like there are different types of these sentient orbs, all right. And what needs to happen is that you need to collect certain materials from these orbs that allow you to, you know, upgrade your weapon, and then you get to the center of the galaxy. So basically, this thing would be a god, all right, a god of that universe, all right. And basically speaking, what seems to happen is that when you get to the center of the universe, you discover that you are in a simulation, all right. And then you discover that you're in the Matrix, and then you can switch off the simulation, and then you can like restart and start from afresh. You know, you kind of like lose your memories. Let's just put it that way. Okay, and then
in terms of No Man's Sky's exploration, is that like something that is interesting to get into? Like, can you go to different planets and stuff like that?
You know what? I didn't get into it because of the story. It was because of what was possible with No Man's Sky and the potential that I see. You know, it's not quite where I wanted to be at yet. But like, let me be honest with you guys. First of all, you can start with the little spaceship and then get something better, right? And then from there, you can get your own fleet and your own, what do they call these, stargates or frigates or whatever, right? So you can get your own armada, let's just put it that way, right? So it's just you balling with your own your own little armada. Then you can build your base and a planet. You can make it as big as you want. You can build it within water or in the sky if you really wanted to, you know. And then you can battle with some aliens, you know, and you can become a pirate. You can. So I saw it as a possibility where, like, I see No Man's Sky as a game in the future, where like there'll be like, you know, millions upon millions of players building hubs and, you know, making little cities and trading and all that type of stuff, you know, kind of like some of the popular games, space games out there. But like, I feel like, you know, it's going to get there eventually. Now, it's not a game for everybody, you know, but in terms of like adventure, there's just a lot into that. Story wise,
yeah, that's mainly what I wanted to check. Mostly exploration.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah,
think
story. Yeah, story wise, story wise, there's nothing to expect. I mean, you're in a simulation. That's as bland as you can get.
What's that other space game that came out? Outriders, was it Outriders? Right, the one where they find a planet.
Outriders
looked fun. Outriders looked fun.
Yeah, I think it's. I think if I do get a chance, I'm gonna also give that one a try. There's definitely a couple of those out there, but only play No Man's Sky if you've got like way too much time on your hand.
Okay, so what is next? Lost Judgment.
Lost Judgment.
Wow. You told me you played Judgment, right?
A little, but it was just a weird game. I didn't get into it. I expected it to capture me with the whole Adrian persuasion thing, but none of that happened, man.
Adrian persuasion, okay.
For me, there wasn't really. I don't know. It wasn't just. Let me be honest with you guys. I wanted to skip this part. You know, while I was viewing it, I was just not really.
Okay, so good, because I had the same exact feeling as you.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I like certain elements of the Judgment, Lost Judgment trailer. There's parts of it where I'm like, that actually looks like a really interesting investigation. But man, being a detective in a game is
reminded me of the Yakuza series. I don't know about you guys.
Oh yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, but it just like
was it made by the same people? Because it looks really similar.
Yeah, it looks really similar. And remember what I told you guys earlier in the start of the podcast, that sometimes it's just sensitivity into it, man. If you see enough of something, it's never gonna affect you. First time you see a Yakuza game, you know, it's definitely gonna hit you. But after a couple of times, not there anymore, you know. So this is definitely a game that has its own people, you know, its own people.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, let's skip to the main event of the state of play, which was Deathloop.
Ooh, yeah, Deathloop.
I gotta say, guys, before we get deep into it, there is, I don't know the name of the game yet, but there was a game that also explored this particular game mechanic. Where, okay, it's not as deep as Deathloop.
It's exactly the same company. It's the game. The name of the game is Dishonored.
Dishonored.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't talking about Dishonored, but I also had no idea that Dishonored had the same mechanics.
As Deathloop, you mean?
Yeah, as Deathloop.
That thing where like you teleport or you pull.
No, as in like where you when you die and then you come back.
Oh, and die and come back. That was done recently too, wasn't it?
That's what I'm saying. I should have been specific. I'm interested to see what they can do with that, really. I'm interested in seeing how far they can take, you know, in getting us to really feel that effect of, you know, being a regressor, guys. I mean, I've always wanted to isekai in whatever instance, you know, whether in real life or in a game, guys. I've always wanted to isekai. So I think that for me, Deathloop would kind of, you know, it's a bit closer to that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, watching Deathloop, I felt like I'll be playing Dishonored all over again. It is exactly the same movement, same everything. The only difference is the name and the characters. But I don't think I'll play it purely because there's nothing new in that game. Apart from the story, everything else is just more or less the same what I played. So no point in doing that again.
Yeah, I hear you. I did see that they had a lot of mechanics, though, particularly the one about each gun having its own personality and stuff like that. I feel like that's stuff that's going to get tossed at the end of the development anyways. Like, guys, let's just make it generic, you know, because then it always happens, you know. I'm sure you guys know this, that they always promise to deliver and then, you know, you just get something different entirely. I feel like this is what will happen with Deathloop in terms of like something, you know. I don't want to expect too much of the, you know, looping mechanics and some of the game mechanics that, you know, that seemed so interesting to me. But I really want to, you know, I really, really want to do that.
Yeah, I'm really happy I haven't played Dishonored because from what Q is saying, if I played Dishonored, I would hate Deathloop. I just feel like, exactly. Where's Dishonored 3? Just give us Dishonored 3. But as someone who has not played Dishonored and has not explored mechanic where you die and come back and die and come back and die and come back, I'm interested, slightly interested. I don't know if the game is
going to... It's like being dropped in. It's like being dropped in Edge of Tomorrow, man. But
exactly
in Deathloop.
Yeah, and you sort of have to just like figure out how to kill these people. It's. I don't know if that'll 100% be interesting, but I'm willing to give it a try. You know, I'm willing to give it a try. it's not a, I actually feel like they've shown me too much of Deathloop. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Like, I've seen too much. You know, when you see a trailer, you're like, oh, that's interesting. Then you see another one. Oh, wow, that's really interesting. Then you see the third time. And this time, yeah, it's like a 15-minute gameplay trailer. Now you're like, okay.
I also felt that way. I was like, okay, what's next? And then it never stopped being Deathloop. You know, it was just, you know, they just like force feed you
Deathloop. Yes, it's too much of a showcase.
It was enough. It was enough with the first video, but like it just kept on going and going, man.
Because to me, it's just a simple concept. So I really don't see the need for you to like give me this long ass trailer. Like, I understand the concept. Like, I honestly feel this is kind of a disservice because I'm sure there's some people who are like interested in it, in the mystery of it. Like, oh, okay, that's what's happening. Everything. Yep, exactly. You saw everything. Well, not everything. You know what I mean. Like, it just took away some of the mystique, man.
Yeah.
But that's our world, man. More trailers. Yeah. More trailers. More trailers.
More trailers. More trailers. I just have one question for you guys. I just want to find out from you fellas, which one is your hands down all time favorite game.
That's a difficult question, man.
Yeah, okay, well, let me be specific. What's a game that you can play again and again and again and never get bored of?
Oh, that's actually different from my favorite game. That's actually interesting. I've got the really quick. I can play Fortnite anytime, any day, any minute, any town, whatever it is. Fortnite is so
for easy. Years, yeah, and you'll still be fine.
Yeah, it's not my favorite game, not by any like stretch of the imagination, but it's an easy, it's just so easy to just get into. Like, if I'm like okay, I've got something to do in 15 minutes, but I have 15 minutes to waste right now, I can blow it on a Fortnite game. It's
All right. What about you, Zep?
I gotta agree with Dave, man. Fortnite, man. I had a lot of fun playing duos with Dave the other day. I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. Just taking out people, just like calling people, shooting into the air. It was
it's just so quick, so easy. I don't know. There's something fun about it. You're dropped in a place, 100 people, none of them have weapons. You all pick up stuff and then try to kill each other. It's cool. I love those games now.
Yeah.
I need to play PUBG because that apparently that was interesting too.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, it would be the Elder Scrolls Online game. Guys, I've been playing that game for about 2 years now.
I recently gave that a go.
Yeah.
Yes.
2 years. Yeah. I mean, at first I hated it. You know, at first I absolutely, after playing the likes of Skyrim, I was just like, this is bullshit right here. This is some bullshit. But you know?
Kept on playing.
Yeah, man. It's because of, there's a friend of mine who just kept on egging me on to just like, you know, since we were playing together, co-op and stuff, like, it was fun at first. But then he started logging in less and I started logging in more, you know, and then the problem about the game that I had was the color scheme. It was so bland. So bland. It just looked like Borodom. If Borodom had a color, it's the original color scheme of Elder Scrolls Online. And then I found a plugin somewhere, and then I saturated everything, made everything colorful. I gotta tell you, I've never stopped since. You know, so that's...
It just became crack.
Yeah, man, it just became crack. so that's currently my favorite game right there.
Oh, that's interesting, man. I need to get into it more. When I did try it, I was like, oh, this game is gonna suck my life away. I can't do that.
No, man, it will, man, because there are players that go up to level 3,000. if you can imagine that.
Do you sleep?
Man, there's so much content in this game that you can't even begin to imagine. Just even talking about the things to do in that is I've played this game for 2 years and I've barely scratched the surface, man. It's just that deep. It's too much to do, man. You know what? You just have to, like, be bedridden, you know, to just play the game and totally explore it. It's too much, man. It's too much.
Yeah, I wanna get into it a bit more. I need it to hook me. Get those drugs inside me.
I don't know about me, man. I'm gonna take some convincing.
You're gonna take some convincing.
Yeah.
All right, man. I mean. Take damn, bro.
You need to pay for it. It's on PlayStation Now.
I know the types of games that you liked, but I remember how happy you were about Shadow of Mordor, the first one, right? Shadow of Mordor. I remember us watching gameplay of that, and I know that you know, such games.
Shadow of Mordor was amazing.
Yeah. I know, man. And then I remember you talking to me about The Witcher, you know. And after you told me about The Witcher and you explained it to me, I'm telling you, Dave, I could see it in my mind after Zeppo explained The Witcher to me. I could imagine it, man. I was like, all right, this is something that I have to absolutely play. So I know that, yeah, you might play Elder Scrolls Online, you know, but you won't stay too long here, you know. That's just what I feel, you know. I think
probably not. if we're talking RPGs, I'm more of a Dragon Age, you know,
but I mean, guys, if you must know, there's just too much to say about this game, you know, so I don't want to get too deep into it and say, you know, too much stuff because we'd be here all night. But, you know, you've got dungeons, you've got dragons, you've got over 15 cities to explore, thousands upon thousands of quests, you know, dialogues, and you can talk to various, you know, NPCs. You can, you know, build your own guild. You can start your own house if you want. If you want a mansion, man, you can get that. You can get super cool mounts and stuff. You can't fly, but like the mounts for vanity. If you're a vanity slave, there's stuff for you. and then there's plenty of PvP for those that like to have a challenge. You know, so, and then the players and the community, it's you know, the people are great. And then if you like to be a thief, you know, there's stuff for you there. And then it's amazing, man. But it needs time, you know, it needs time.
Yeah, that's the problem with those kind of games, man. Like earlier, what's that game you mentioned? Black Desert Online? I always thought that it was just like an advertisement that I was seeing. I didn't think that was like a real thing. And then I noticed like it's actually like a proper game.
But that, you know, Black Desert Online is the only game that made me tap out willingly in fear of addiction, guys. That's never happened to me. I love games, guys. But if you see me saying, you know what, I don't want to play this because I don't want to get addicted, just know that this is some serious shit.
Dude, I couldn't even start. I knew exactly what I was looking at. I was like, this is bad. This is nasty. Avoid that.
And the funny thing is,
yeah.
And the funny thing is, on my side, it's always on promotion and they're always pushing it in my face. It's always on promotion.
Don't do it. Do not do it.
That's how they get you. exactly how they get you.
Man, have you ever imagined a game like, you know what, the combat, T-Money, the combat is so sweet, bro. You know, it's like sugar, bro. You know, and the world and some of the things that you can do, it's, wow, man. I played a little bit of it, you know, and I was just like, you know what, I'm quitting right now. This is it. I'm done right here, you know, and I left. So yeah, it's crazy.
Better to not play it than to, you know, than to always be stuck to it.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, man, me and Dave, guys, we gotta get in on some of that Fortnite action. Definitely gonna want to try that eventually.
Oh, Dave, we were looking for a trios partner. It looks like we just found one.
Listen, if you can, we're here, man. We're here.
All right.
I don't know if I'll be there because, you know, my little brother just decides to hoard the thing to himself, you know. Somebody help me.
All right.
Did you guys see the Steam Deck?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Portable handheld PC, guys.
Yeah. That thing looks insane.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm interested in getting my hands on that. I've never liked small screens, but like if it's Steam Deck, perhaps maybe this is it.
My thing was like, if it's easy to just get it up on a screen, right? Then technically, when I look at the price for that, like for the like most expensive version, I'm like, that might actually be cheaper than a normal PC that can do exactly what that can do, and it might be worth getting for that reason.
For that price,
But it depends on how you can hook it up to the TV, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the particular problem that I've been facing lately is an abundance of games within my phone. You know, every once in a while, right? Once every 6 months, I find myself just downloading plenty and plenty of Android games. You know, so if I could get my hands on something like a Steam Deck, you know, then I think that my phone would get the opportunity to breathe. You know, it would be happy. Yeah, seriously, it would be happy, you know, because sometimes I just want something casual, something quick, you know, just to jump in, just to do some quick and light gameplay and then just, you know, jump off and get back to whatever I was doing, you know. So I'd like to try Steam Deck, really. I would really, really, really like to try that one out.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, no, it'll be pretty. It's pretty cool because I don't think there's been a handheld to compete with Nintendo since the PS Vita basically died.
Yeah.
Have you guys tried the Nintendo Switch?
No. I'm lying. I did try it last.
Yeah. What year. Do you think?
No, not last year. 2019, where they had a Nintendo thing in Santa. It's an interesting device, but with Nintendo, you know exactly what to expect. You're not expecting things that take themselves too seriously. You're expecting your Pokemon and Super Mario and, you know, stuff like that. And that's exactly what I got. But the gameplay is really decent, but like, it's nothing to make me jizz.
Yeah.
I think what he's trying to say is that like he isn't interested in Mario or Legend of Zelda. No,
it's nothing like that. I would play those games, but like if they told me those are the only games I have to play, I'll be like, it's cool. Can I learn how to play chess or something?
For me, basically, that's the main issue. Is I've never been interested in Nintendo's games, like not like that, like Super Mario, Legend of Zelda. Like, I like some of them, but I see a game that I like so rarely on the Switch that I'm like, it would be a complete waste of time because the only game I would play is probably like Breath of the Wild and then Breath of the Wild 2, and then it's just sitting down doing nothing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I'll see. I'll see. I'm not. I'm more likely to get a PS than a handheld, you know, console. So it'll have to be something out of convenience. You know, like if it comes as a deal, like somebody brings it to me for way too cheap, and I've got money to burn, then I'll probably pick up like, you know, either the Nintendo or the Steam Deck, but it's not something I would go out of my way to buy. No.
You mean somebody comes to you and they're like, well, you know, I got something that like fell off a truck the other day. Something that like fell off a truck, you know what I mean? Just sort of like, fell.
You know, just 900 Rand, you can get it right.
Yeah, definitely. Dude, definitely.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Dabblers, I don't know if we still got more time, but I would...
I think we're wrapping up, but whatever you're saying is kind of like one of the last things on the docket.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was about to open up a whole new file in regards to some of the recent things that we've watched, but we can always save that for another day. And then you let me know. But I wanted to talk about quite a lot with you. You know, Space Jam, the Loki stuff.
You know what? Let's do Space Jam because I haven't watched Loki. Let's do Space Jam real quick because I hated that movie on the
train. And I don't know. Have you watched The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty funny.
You guys can just take over this discussion. Listen, I have not watched any of these.
Okay, we don't wanna spoil. We don't wanna spoil.
Oh, trust me, guys. Spoil me. I'm like, I totally don't care about those movies. I'm just being honest.
All right, let's start with the big one. Zeppo, Space Jam. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, let me just breathe for a moment. First, I'd like to acknowledge a few things about this movie. The production quality. Yeah, we'll get to that, but like the production quality, Dave, was insane, okay? I mean, Don Cheadle, I mean, he made it work. Let's not lie, man. I mean, no, they should be paying.
I'm not trashing Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle was the ace. I'm not with Bugs Bunny.
The ace.
That movie.
They should have switched the main characters, Dave. You seriously, but the production, the animation and everything, it looked great. I'm not gonna lie. You know, it really, really looked nice and sweet, man. But then everything else.
LeBron had one expression the entire movie. He had one expression apart from when he smiled. So he had two expressions.
Yeah, and then did they really ask, you know, LeBron to be that super serious, you know, type of person that doesn't like want to have fun and oh my God. I just felt cringe, man. I just felt cringe. You know, like, did they really take this to the writers and said, okay, look, guys, LeBron James doesn't want to have fun. Him and his kid, you know, the whole drama. I just didn't quite. It was just convenient for the story. Just convenient for the plot.
You know what I liked about the first Space Jam? It's like the Looney Tunes were in trouble, right? So, like, being all wacky and crazy, they decided, hey, the only way to get out of this is to play a basketball match. So let's go and kidnap Michael Jordan and have him play basketball with us. And this one is like, oh, you're going to play basketball to save your family. What the? What? Give me an action movie. It's exactly the same plot.
That's how many times?
That's the plot. Wait. What Space Jam 2 did was take the plot for Taken and add basketball to it. That's all they did.
That's all they did. How many times did they actually say King James?
Oh, dude, way too many times. I wish I had a King James counter or like a
bro. Bottle.
Every time, the every whole... time they say King James, I'll take a shot.
I mean, even you know what killed me? The wife, you know, and the way it's just like she was addressing him. It was almost formal, bro. I mean, you know, she would just. Oh man, I did not hear her say James, not even once. You know, it was with the surname LeBron. No baby, no love, no what. It was formal, okay?
You know, casual. That's the first
strictly thing, formal. Right? Yeah.
Did you mean the opposite of what you just said? That because you said that, no, James is his. You know, that's his surname, right?
No. I get it. Right, I get it. But what I'm trying to say, the point that I was trying to make was that there was no connection in their relationship. Chemistry. You know what I mean? Yeah, there was no connection. There was no chemistry. Just felt cold. You know, it wasn't believable. That's all I was trying to say.
Anyway, biggest disappointment of the year.
Yeah, and each and every character had to get some sort of screen time. Dragons from... gods, you know, and other characters, it's Harry Potter stuff, you know, everything was just jammed in there, man.
There was a smorgasbord of WB nonsense.
WB 3000.
All right, so,
and then
yeah
what are you about to say?
No, I was about to say the hitman's bodyguard's wife.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what else can you expect from that? I'm actually pretty disappointed. You know, humor aside, I just felt like everything else was bad. You know, personally for me, because then the wife, you know, always. Yeah, she's vulgar, okay? She's extra vulgar, you know? And then Samuel Jackson was swearing, you know? And then Ryan Reynolds with, you know, one-liners. That's it. That's it right there. That's it right there, you know? And there's definitely a bigger budget, you know? There's definitely a bigger budget. There's definitely more explosions and all that. But the plot... you know, and like the story, it just didn't feel as engaging as the first one, you know? So, yeah, I particularly did not enjoy it as much.
And I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it, actually, because I don't know. I guess I like the fact that it didn't take itself too seriously. That's the thing that I liked the most about it. And, you know, Salma Hayek was being, you know, was playing the character, the crazy woman. It was fun for me. It was just a fun little movie that just didn't take itself seriously at all.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where they want to take this, whether there'll be another. I doubt there'll be another one, but you never know with Hollywood, man.
You never know.
You never know, man.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a wrap. Yeah, man. Thank you for inviting me onto the show. Got to talk to the Dabblers. Got to talk to you, to Dave. Got to talk about the state of plagues, the state of Space Jam, and Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dabblers and Google the Topics. We are the Dabblers Pod on Instagram, on YouTube, on Twitter. I have been Quentin, he was the Shogun, and he was the Ace. We are out.